This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
Wisconsin pollinator populations have been declining for years, endangering the growth of apples, cranberries, cherries, and many other fruits and vegetables. That's why the state released a plan last month to protect the state's pollinators, like bees. But as Bridget Bowden reports, some people do not think the state's plan is enough.
As you drive up the long country road to Harriet Behar's farm in Crawford County, you see signs that read, "Native Prairie, No Mowing." She wants to make sure that there are lots of places for her bees to forage for nectar and pollen.
So here's some of our hives. We have a few more here.
Behar has about 24 hives and plants her fields with crops like clover that she knows will make the bees happy. She's had her farm since 1981, but says beekeeping is becoming harder.
In the past 10 years, we've definitely seen a massive decline in the vigor and vitality of the bees, even though we keep trying to keep them at home by growing food for them here so they don't go off to the neighbors' corn and soybeans.
She's not alone. Wisconsin is a hard place to be a bee. More than 60% of honeybee colonies died off just last year, which is one of the worst rates in the country. That's why last month, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection released a plan to help pollinators. It recommends things like increasing roadside plantings and bee-friendly home gardens. One thing it does not do is set targets for decreasing the use of a controversial class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, or neonics. These chemicals have been shown to have serious effects on pollinators.
Well, we know that if misused, they're darn good bee killers. I mean, their toxicity as measured when they were registered early on, there was no question. When used in the presence of bees, yeah, they'll have an impact.
That's UW-Madison entomology professor and extension specialist Russell Groves. He says when neonics were introduced in the 1990s, they became popular because they were less harmful to humans and mammals than older, more toxic pesticides. But Grove says there were unintended effects on pollinators.
You know, it's becoming pretty evident that, at least through peer-reviewed science, that there are some impacts of these pesticides that originally weren't known.
Neonic usage has grown drastically in the past 15 years. According to a 2012 estimate, the chemicals were used in virtually all corn seed and 30% of soybean seed. But with concern growing over its effect on pollinators, the Environmental Protection Agency has suspended approving any new neonics and is reevaluating the ones that are currently on the market. Restricting these chemicals, however, may not be enough. Claudio Graton is a UW-Madison entomology professor and helped develop the state's plan. He says pesticides probably aren't the only factor causing bee decline. Disease and habitat are also taking a toll.
But I think it's a much broader one than that interacts the effects of low food availability for them, pathogens, stresses on the bees that compound each other, including the use of pesticides. I think all those things are kind of playing together.
David Flockney is a Syngenta representative and one of the stakeholders who contributed to the pollinator plan. In an email to the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, he said neonics are safe when used as directed, saying, quote, "Scientific evidence clearly shows that bees and other pollinators can coexist safely with modern agricultural technology."
So there you go. That's a beehive. That's a cluster.
Back on the farm, Behar says she's frustrated that following the state's proposal is voluntary and that it doesn't call for restrictions on neonics.
It didn't have any mandates or pilot programs to really turn the tide. It was more, well, wouldn't it be nice to just do a little bit more here, but let's not push anybody. And I think we need to be pushed.
For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Bridget Bowden.
This story was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. For more, visit wisconsinwatch.org.